You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
In one of our missions, wrote St. Alphonsus Liguori, after the Sermon on Mary, which it is our custom to preach, a very old man came to one of the fathers of our congregation to make his confession. He was full of consolation and said, "Our Lady has done me a favor." "And what favor has she done you?" asked the confessor. He replied, "For 35 years, Father, I have made sacrilegious confessions because I was ashamed of one sin, and yet I have passed through many dangers and have been several times at the point of death. And if I had died then, I certainly would have been lost. And now Our Lady has done me the favor to touch my heart." And when he said that, he wept so bitterly that he seemed to be all tenderness. After the father had heard his confession, he asked him what devotion he had practiced, and he answered that he had never failed on Saturday to keep a strict fast in honor of Mary, and therefore the Virgin had taken pity on him. And he gave the father permission to publish the fact in his sermons. Can the faith of this gentleman here who went to confession be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. In fact, that little story narrative, so to speak, is a segue into our program today, which will be dedicated on the priesthood. It is probably something that many Catholics take for granted, and it's probably something that many priests themselves truly do not understand. The awesome majesty of the office that they hold. In fact, it was St. Alphonsus Liguori who said that the priest will not understand the greatness of his office till he is in heaven. If he understood it on earth, he would die, not out of fear, but of love. And one can say that the model for a true and holy priest, and we've had many throughout church history, but the modern model for what a true priest should be was Padre Pio. And again, one of the questions that has always fascinated me about St. Padre Pio was not so much what he did, but why did God see fit to send the first and only stigmatic priest in the 20th century? God had never bestowed the stigmata on any priest throughout church history. In fact, St. Francis was a deacon when he had the stigmata. But St. Padre Pio was the first and only priest thus far in church history, in 2,000 years of church history, who received the stigmata. And the question for me has always been, why him? Why now? Why was it in the 20th century that God saw fit to send a priest that bore the physical marks of the Lamb? Could it in fact be a message to us all, to the laity and those in the ecclesiastical orders? Could it have been a warning also as to what the priesthood would endure throughout the 20th century and on into the 21st century? Could God be showing us? Could God be warning us about the tragedy that would unfold throughout the priesthood and the persecutions that they would face both externally and internally from the attacks of those, and whether it be like the Nazis, the communists, the socialists, who persecuted the priests throughout the 20th century? And could it also be that the priesthood would be attacked by the devil in a way that many of us would never have imagined? In the 20th and 21st century, the time encompassed by the prophecy of Pope St. Leo the 13th. In fact, the vision of Pope St. Leo the 13th.
Thank you.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
It was in 1884 that Pope Leo XIII saw a vision of our Lord, and whereby he also heard the guttural voice of Satan. And Satan saying to our Lord, "Give me 100 years and I can destroy your church." And our Lord said, "You can?" And Satan thereby demanded, "Give me 100 years, I can destroy your church." And our Lord gave him the time and the power, in a sense. A power over those who have given themselves over to Satan. A greater power over those who have given themselves over to Satan. You have the time, you have the power, do with it what you wish. And one can say also throughout that time, that 100 years, and we'll touch upon it again in a future program, that one of the main targets, if not the main target, of Satan's assault would be the priesthood. Because remember, Satan is not a fool. He realizes that no priest, therefore no Mass. No Mass, no Eucharist. To really bring down the church, you really have to bring down the priesthood. And so could it have been God here sending this holy priest with the exterior, the outward signs of the stigmata, as hope, as a model for the priests of the 20th and 21st century. Now, with respect to St. Padre Pio, many people focus on the various miracles and bilocations that he was famous for. But his true miracle was the way he celebrated the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the intensity with which he approached Holy Mass and the Eucharist, and the intense focus, body and soul, interior and exterior, with which he approached the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. In fact, it's been said that both joy and suffering were reflected in Padre Pio's body and soul both before, during, and after he celebrated Holy Mass. In fact, someone said that he considered himself a sinner, that so much so that during the confiteor, the I confess, he struck himself on the chest with such great violence as if to emphasize the unworthiness and insufficiency of the human condition before the wonderful gifts of the Most High. In fact, in his book Per la Storia by Alberto Del Fante, whereby having attended a Mass by Padre Pio, he observed that all was still, and one could not even hear the usual shuffling of feet nor the sound of people moving around in their seats. Everything was in suspense. And in an article in a major Catholic publication, La Civiltà Cattolica, it described how Padre Pio's Mass dissolved all distance of time and space between the altar and Calvary. Which leads us to an extraordinary book, one can say, article, sermon, written by St. Alphonsus Liguori on the priesthood. And it would do well to meditate on the words of St. Alphonsus Liguori, as he meditates on the wonders and glories of the priesthood. St. Alphonsus had this to say, quote, St. Ephren calls it, the priesthood, an infinite dignity. Quote, the priesthood is an astounding miracle, great, immense, and infinite. And according to Cassian, he continues, the priest of God is exalted above all earthly sovereignties and above all celestial heights. He is inferior only to God, whereby a single Mass, he, the priest, gives greater honor to God than all the angels and saints, along with the Blessed Virgin Mary, have given or shall give to him. For their worship cannot be of infinite value, like that which the priest celebrating on the altar offers to God. Extraordinary words to meditate upon. He continues, the dignity of the priest is also estimated from the power that he has over the real and the mystic body of Jesus Christ. With regard to the power of priests over the real body of Jesus Christ, it is a faith that when they pronounce the words of consecration, the incarnate Word has obliged himself to obey and to come into their hands under the sacramental species. What extraordinary insight here by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And again, in doing so, he's basically just simply echoing the writings and words of the ancient church fathers. And that part there was extraordinarily insightful. That quote again, it is of faith that when they, the priests, pronounce the words of consecration, the incarnate Word has obliged himself to obey and to come into their hands under the sacramental species. What an extraordinary gift and power that has been given to our priests. He goes on to write, our wonder should be far greater when we find that in obedience to the words of his priests, hoc est corpus meum, God himself descends on the altar, that he comes wherever they call him and as often as they call him, and places himself in their hands even though they should be his enemies. Wow. And he continues, and after having come, he remains entirely at their disposal. They move him as they please from one place to another. They may, if they wish, shut him up in the tabernacle, or expose him on the altar, or carry him outside the church. They may, if they choose, eat his flesh and give him for the food of others. Again, this is something we as the laity truly take for granted, and do we truly understand this great and awesome gift and power that our Lord, through the Sacrament of Holy Orders, has given to our priests? And as a consequence, do we Catholics truly understand what is unfolding before us during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? He goes on to write, oh, how very great is their power, says St. Lawrence Justinian. Speaking of priests, the saint writes, quote, a word falls from their lips, and the body of Christ is there substantially formed from the matter of bread, and the incarnate Word descended from heaven, is found really present on the table of the altar. Never did divine goodness give such power to the angels. The angels abide by the order of God, but the priests take him in their hands. Take him, who him? God. But the priests take him, God, in their hands, distribute him, God, to the faithful, and partake of him, God, as food for themselves. With regard to the mystic body of Christ, that is, all the faithful, the priest has the power of the keys, or the power of delivering sinners from hell, of making them worthy of paradise, of changing them from the slaves of Satan into the children of God. And God himself is obliged to abide by the judgment of his priests, and either not to pardon or to pardon according as they refuse or give absolution. During the sacrament of penance, in the confessional. And again, here is another thing we take for granted, the confessional and the priest within it, in hearing confession, and which has been given to him the power of changing a soul from a slave of Satan into a child of God. The powers of absolution given the priest. St. Alphonsus continues, such, says St. Maximus of Turin, this judiciary power ascribed to Peter, that its decision, there in the confessional, carries with it the decision of God. The sentence of the priest proceeds, and God subscribes to it, writes St. Peter Damian. And St. Peter Damian is one of those extraordinary saints of the church. Hence, St. John Chrysostom, also another extraordinary saint of the church, thus concludes, the sovereign master of the universe only follows the servant by confirming in heaven all that the latter decides upon earth. Wow. As the dispensers of divine graces, and the associates of God, they are, says St. Prosper, the glory and the immovable columns of the church. They are the doors of the eternal city. Through them all reach Christ. They are the vigilant guardians to whom the Lord has confided the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and they are the stewards of the king's house. And here's an extraordinary insight, which again has been echoed by the church fathers and the saints and mystics throughout the centuries. But again, we don't hear enough of it. And we probably don't truly realize it. Whereby St. Alphonsus says this, were the Redeemer himself to descend into a church and sit in a confessional to administer the sacrament of penance, and a priest to sit in another confessional, Jesus would say over each penitent, Ego te absolvo. The priest would likewise say over each of his penitents, Ego te absolvo. And what does St. Alphonsus Liguori say next? He says, and the penitents of each would be equally absolved. Wow. Here St. Alphonsus Liguori is saying, if our Lord were to come down into your parish today and sit in a confessional, and your parish priest would be in another confessional there in your parish, and at the same time hearing confessions, and when our Lord were to say in person, Ego te absolvo, to one penitent, And the parish priest in another confessional there would say ego te absolvo to another penitent. Both penitents would be equally absolved. He goes on to write, thus the sacerdotal priestly dignity is the most noble of all the dignities in this world. Nothing, says St. Ambrose, is more excellent in this world. It transcends, says St. Bernard, all the dignities of kings, of emperors, and of angels. And according to St. Ambrose, the dignity of the priest as far exceeds that of kings as the value of gold surpasses that of lead. Priests on earth wield far more power than even the President of the United States. Far more power than all the angels in heaven, one can say. Far more dignity than any angel or king. And again, we take for granted the priesthood. And we, many times in our parishes where we have something or another to say behind the back of a priest, this priest or that priest, we tend to forget the dignity of the priest. There was a time where the parishioners used to kiss the priest's hands. Now we shake the priest's hands. In fact, we should go back to doing what we did before in kissing the priest's hands. Because those hands, through holy oil and through the dignity of the priesthood, have the power to consecrate the bread and wine on the altar. Have the power to call down God from heaven and be present on the altar. Has the power to make you from a servant or a slave of Satan to a child of God.
are listening to Christian Roots, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
St. Alphonsus relates that when the Empress Eusebia sent for Leontius, Bishop of Tripoli, he, the bishop, said that if she, the Empress, wished to see him, that she should consent to two conditions. First, that on his arrival, she, the Empress, should instantly descend from the throne and, bowing down her head, should ask his benediction. Secondly, that he, the bishop, should be seated on the throne and that she, the Empress, should not sit upon it without his permission. And he added that unless she submitted to these conditions, he would never go to the palace. Wow. There's another story that St. Alphonsus relates that being invited to the table of the Emperor Maximus, St. Martin, in taking a draught of ale, first paid a mark of respect to his, the Emperor's chaplain, and then to the Emperor. In the Council of Nice, the Emperor Constantine wished to sit in the last place after all the priests and on a seat lower than that which they occupied. And he, the Emperor Constantine, would not even sit down without the priest's permission. The Holy King St. Boleslas had so great a veneration for priests that he would not dare to sit in their presence. He goes on to write that the sacerdotal dignity also surpasses the dignity of the angels, who likewise show their veneration for the priesthood, says St. Gregory Nazianzus. All the angels in heaven cannot absolve from a single sin. I will repeat that. All the angels in heaven cannot absolve you from a single sin. The angels guardian procure for the souls committed to their care grace to have recourse to a priest that he may absolve them. Although, says St. Peter Damian, angels may be present, they yet wait for the priest to exercise his power. But no one of them has the power of the keys of binding and of loosening. When St. Michael comes to a dying Christian who invokes his aid, the holy archangel can chase away the devils, but he cannot free his client from their chains till a priest comes to absolve him. St. Francis of Assisi used to say, quote, "If I saw an angel and a priest, I would bend my knee first to the priest and then to the angel." Besides, the power of the priest surpasses that of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And again, St. Alphonsus here writes, who was a great devotee of the Blessed Mother, he writes that besides the power of the priest, the power of the priest surpasses that of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For although this Divine Mother can pray for us and by her prayers obtain whatever she wishes, yet she cannot absolve a Christian from even the smallest sin. The Blessed Virgin was eminently more perfect than the apostles, says Innocent III. It was, however, not to her, but only to the apostles that the Lord entrusted the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Saint Bernardine of Siena has written, "Holy Virgin, excuse me, for I speak not against thee. The Lord has raised the priesthood above thee." Wow. The saint assigns the reason of the superiority of the priesthood over Mary in that she conceived Jesus Christ only once. But by consecrating the Eucharist, the priest, as it were, conceives him as often as he wishes. Wow, indeed. In fact, they echo the words of St. Augustine, who wrote, "O wonderful dignity of the priests, in their hands, as in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, the Son of God becomes incarnate." As in creating the world, it was sufficient to God to have said, "Let it be made," and it was created. He spoke, and they were made. So it is sufficient for the priest to say, "Hoc est corpus meum," and behold, the bread is no longer bread, but the body of Jesus Christ. And watch what he relates here. He writes that the power of the priest, says Saint Bernardine of Siena, is the power of the divine person. For the transubstantiation of the bread requires as much power as the creation of the world. Again, he is saying here that in your parish, when you are there during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, far more power is unleashed in that church during Holy Mass through the words of consecration, "Hoc est corpus meum." Far more power is unleashed in your presence there than the power that it took to create the entire universe. And now you tell me whether or not, by their comportment during Holy Mass, whether Catholics take for granted or not what is unfolding in their midst. While all that power is being unleashed, and while God is being made present on the altar in my parish and yours, too often we hear the shuffling of feet, sighs, people whispering to one another, people joking, people talking about their grandkids or grandchildren, people looking at their watches, people planning what they're going to be doing the rest of the day, people anxious to get out. All the while, that extraordinary and immense power is being unleashed in your parish, in your presence, and we don't even realize it. God is made flesh on the altar there, and many of us don't seem to care. Our outward comportment only confirms that fact during Holy Mass. He goes on to write, "And St. Augustine has written, 'O venerable sanctity of the hands, O happy function of the priest, he that created, if I may say so, gave me the power to create him. And he that created me without me is himself created by me.'" Wow. And again, St. Augustine is one of those saints of the church who can take something very complicated and make it very simple to understand. I'm going to repeat that again. the words of St. Augustine, and listen carefully. O venerable sanctity of the hands, O happy function of the priest, he that created, if I may say so, gave me the power to create him. God, who created me, has given me the power to make him present on the altar. And he writes, and he that created me without me is himself created by me, made present there on the altar, through the words of consecration. As the word of God created heaven and earth, so says Saint Jerome, the words of the priest create Jesus Christ. At a sign from God, there came forth from nothing both the sublime vault of the heavens and the vast extent of the earth. But not less great is the power that manifests itself in the mysterious words of the priest. The dignity of the priest is so great that he even blesses Jesus Christ on the altar as a victim to be offered to the Eternal Father. And in the sacrifice of the Mass, writes Father Mansi, Jesus Christ is the principal offerer and victim. As minister, he blesses the priest, but as victim, the priest blesses him. And when they heard that Jesus Christ pardoned the sins of the paralytic, the Jews justly said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But what only God can do by his omnipotence, the priest can also do by saying, "Ego te absolvo a peccatis tuis." For the forms of the sacraments, or the words of the forms, produce what they signify. What the priest does, what is wonderful, for the saying, "Ego te absolvo," he changes the sinner from an enemy into the friend of God, and from the slave of hell into an heir of paradise. Cardinal Hugo represents the Lord addressing the following words to a priest who absolves a sinner. "I have created heaven and earth, but I leave to you a better and nobler creation. Make out of this soul that is in sin a new soul. That is, make out of the slave of Satan that the soul is a child of God. I have made the earth bring forth all kinds of fruit, but to thee I confide a more beautiful creation, namely that the soul should bring forth fruits of salvation." And according to Saint Cyprian, a priest at the altar performs the office of Christ. When, says Saint John Chrysostom, you have seen a priest offering sacrifice, consider that the hand of Christ is invisibly extended. The priest holds the place of the Savior himself when, by saying, "Ego te absolvo," he absolves from sin. This great power which Jesus Christ has received from his eternal Father, he has communicated to his priests. Jesus, says Tertullian, invests the priests with his own powers to pardon a single sin requires all the omnipotence of God. And he continues to write that the soul without grace is a withered tree that can no longer produce fruit, but receiving the divine grace through the ministry of a priest, it brings forth fruits of eternal life. St. Augustine says that to sanctify a sinner is a greater work than to create heaven and earth. Wow. It is the priest who, in giving absolution, exerts the arm and voice of God, by which he rescues souls from hell. And according to St. Ambrose, a priest, in absolving a sinner, performs the very office of the Holy Ghost in the sanctification of souls. And from this we may infer the greatness of the priestly dignity, that the greater its sublimity, the more it should be dreaded. For, says St. Jerome, great is the dignity of priests, but also when they, the priests, sin, great is their ruin. Let us rejoice at having been raised so high, but let us be afraid of falling. Lamenting, St. Gregory cries out, purified by the hands of the priest, the elect enter the heavenly country, and alas, priests precipitate themselves into the fire of hell when they sin. And it's worthy to relate a very interesting story which touches upon another great saint of the church, Saint Teresa of Avila. And the story was this, where she relates, quote, once while approaching to receive communion, I saw with my soul's eyes, more clearly than with my bodily eyes, two devils whose appearance was abominable. It seems to me their horns were wrapped around the poor priest's throat. And in the host that was going to be given to me, I saw my Lord with the majesty I mentioned, placed in the priest's hands, which were clearly seen to be his offenders. And I understood that soul, the priest's soul, was in mortal sin. What would it be, my Lord, to see your beauty in the midst of such abominable figures? They were as though frightened and terrified in your presence, for it seems that they would have very eagerly fled had you allowed them. This vision caused me great disturbance, and I don't know how I was able to receive communion. The Lord himself told me to pray for him, to pray for that priest, and that he had permitted it so that I might understand the power of the words of consecration and how God does not fail to be present, however evil the priest who recites them, and that I might see his goodness, since he places himself willingly in those hands of his enemy, and all out of love for me and for everyone. I understood well how much more priests are obliged to be good than are others, how deplorable a thing it is to receive this most blessed sacrament unworthily, and how much the devil is lord over the soul in mortal sin. In fact, in another story, after his mother congratulated him on his appointment as Bishop of Mantua, the future St. Pius X told her, "Mother, you do not realize what it means to be a bishop. I shall lose my soul if I neglect my duty." From a truly extraordinary and humble soul, St. Pius X, that when his mother congratulated him when he was appointed as a bishop of Mantua, he lamented to his mother, "Mother, you do not realize what it means to be a bishop. I shall lose my soul if I neglect my duty. Pray for our priests. Pray for our bishops, that the Lord may grant them the graces to be able to shepherd his flock back home to heaven. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.